Bible for our first reading, the last chapter of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians 13, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all other that, if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but mighty, but is mighty in you, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except you be reprobates, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when ye are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification, and not to destruction. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with an holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So this is indeed the last chapter of the last letter that we have of the Apostle Paul to the church in Achaia, the Corinthian church. Notice then this opening line, this is the third time, I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. It is interesting indeed that the Apostle Paul would open the last chapter like this. What he is saying is that when I come, it'll be the third time, and please, don't expect that I will change what I've told you from before. You'll not hear anything different. It's going to be the same thing. If I've spoken to you the truth before, all I can do is continue in exactly what I've been saying to you. You may want me to change the message. You may think I've been harsh or difficult or been too hard on you. But what you'll find is exactly what I've already told you. There are two things there, right? The first is the courage and stalwart faith of the apostle that he is indeed telling them the right thing for their spiritual good. And secondly, what we see in the book of Philippians also, the penchant of the apostle, when necessary, to repeat what he has already said. It's safe for the people of God and ought not to be burdensome for those who teach. All right, so then there is in verses 2 through 4, there is this answer to those who would seek a proof of Christ speaking in the Apostle Paul. And that proof that the Apostle is going to bring forth here in this is, okay, well, you've said that my letters are weighty and my appearance contemptible. If I come the next time and find that you're still misbehaving as you have been, you will not find my appearance contemptible. you will find it mighty. And I don't desire to come to you that way, and you ought not to desire for me to come that way. But if I have to, I will. And so the apostle here, this is not a challenge, this is a continuation of his pleading, an exhortation of the Corinthian church to reform, to stop and break off the sins and evils that they had been committing, and to do well so that when he comes, there would be no rancor or difficulty between them. He would not have to come with this sword or rod of correction, but instead he may come in the full power of the Holy Ghost unto exhortation and edification, rather than for difficulty. In preparation then for that, notice what the Apostle Paul says in verse 5, and this is something that we all ought to make use of, when he says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. The faith there, that is code in the New Testament. The word pistis with the definite article before it, that is the body of the Christian religion. Make sure, Paul says, that what you believe in and what you confess and what you profess is the true religion. And beyond that, make sure that what you confess is indeed also the beating of your own heart. Both things must be in place, brothers and sisters. You must have not only a competent profession of faith, a profession of faith that is biblical, in accordance with the Scriptures, our confessional documents, all of that, but that must be a true and sincere confession. It will not do to have a confession in word only. Like the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 6, if I might roughly paraphrase, talk's cheap. Talk is cheap. We need talk, but we need more than talk. And one of the ways that we move forward in that is by self-examination. And so we check our hearts. We lay down our profession and our confession against the Scriptures. But not only that, we lay down our heart and our affections against the Scriptures as well. Now, when we do that, we will always find ourselves wanting. None of us has attained in this life to the place where we might say, I have arrived through that. However, let us also remember that what we ought to find with regard to that falling short is grief. A mourning and a weeping for our sins. What did Jesus say about those who mourn and weep for their sins? They will be comforted. Literally, in the Beatitudes, they alone shall be comforted. So let us not content ourselves then with being connected to the people of God. I don't know about you, but I've told you this before. I've had people tell me, oh, I love the Reformed people. I definitely want to be the member of a Reformed church. Absolutely. Good people, great place to raise your kids. Well, that's not saving faith. That the one that confesses that needs to do a little more examination, a little more self-examination. So Paul says, in preparation for my coming then, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That is, search and find those things that, it's like the larger catechism says, we look for those graces to which the promises of life are made. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? The graces to which the promises of life are made. And what are those graces? Well, I have in my notes here just a few thoughts that I jotted down. Unfeigned fervent love of the brethren. The keeping of God's commandments when they are not grievous to us. Let me rephrase that to take out all ambiguity. The keeping of God's commandments and they are never grievous to us. Right? Not we keep them when they're not grievous and we don't when they are. Not like that. Faith in Christ alone, victory over sin, and advancement in the Christian faith. love to God, manifested in obedience to Him, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. Apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ and its resultant lack of foreboding that we can come to God on the basis of Christ's sacrifice, and that we have a hearing, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Knowledge of the truth, that is the gospel. We're not confused over the doctrines of Christianity. And confession of and repentance from sin, a true endeavor to mortify sin and to walk after new obedience. These things are graces to which the promises of life are made. That's how the Larger Catechism puts it. I think it's a wonderful way to phrase it. And these are the kinds of things for which we examine when we examine ourselves. All right, so now in this next section, and that is verse 7, I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. It's a really interesting phrase. Here's what Paul is saying. No matter what you think of us, please, brothers and sisters, do what's right. No matter what you think of us, even if we appear to you as reprobates, follow after that which is right and honest and true. Don't let what you perceive to be a weakness in us, don't use that as a weakness or as an excuse for yourselves to do evil. No matter what you think of us, do that which is good. And so the Apostle Paul, again, continues that very humble entreaty of the Corinthian church, driving them, if you will, pressing them to that which is right, that which is obedient, that which is faithful in the sight of God. All right, so then the chapter in the book ends in verse 11. Well, if I might back up to verse 10 first. I just want to make sure that we understand that verse 10 is that follow-on of the opening section. Notice what he says, I write these things being absent, lest being present with you I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord has given me to edification, not to destruction. I don't want to be sharp with you when I come, brothers and sisters. Remember what he said early on in the book? I think it's chapter 2. He said, it was because I wanted to spare you that I didn't come the first time when I said I was going to. I heard about some things, and I thought, if I come into town now, it's going to mean sharpness. Instead, I'll write a second letter. Do you remember that? So now here, he brings that up again. And so the great heart of the apostle is not what some people think of Paul. Some people think of Paul as that he's this stern corrector of the sins of the churches. That his duty was to ride into town and to give them a what for. Straighten them out. He's the fixer among the apostles. Well, that's not what we see at all. Paul says about himself, the last thing I want to do is come into town and us to be enemies. For me to have to take that role of pointing out your sins and pressing you. I would much rather press you in letters so that when I come, we may enjoy one another in sweet fellowship. I think that's the heart of a great pastor there. All right, then 11. Notice what he says. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. Well, that's quite a request, especially when we remember the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. And we find that the Corinthian church, actually, they were accusing and dividing one another. Notice that Paul has not changed. He's not moved off of that that pressing of them to be at peace and at union one with another. And then we have the apostolic benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. So grace, love, and communion from the triune God. Again, we have a triune benediction, don't we? All right. Thus ends the book, thus ends 2 Corinthians. Next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up Galatians chapter 1. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.